We're living in an extraordinary year. I'm bold to confess this, I am having an extraordinary season. But as I meditated on this, particularly today, it's dawned on me for sure that one of the greatest assignments of the enemy against your life is to steal the dream and the purpose and the direction of your life. And the primary way that he does that is going after you, trying to get you to quit. So if you're going to experience the extraordinary, you're going to have to understand, you're going to need extraordinary perseverance in this season. Have you noticed that nothing happens seemingly overnight? And it's important you understand this. From Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to walk in God's will and receive the promises, you have to learn about perseverance. And the scripture says in Hebrews 10 verse 36, you need to persevere. So that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Well, what do I do then? What's the apostle saying here? But my righteous one will live by faith. That's what you do between, amen, the time that he ascended until the time that he returns. My righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now smile at somebody and say, he's talking about me there. It's not time to shrink back. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. It's not time to throw down your faith. It's not time to walk away from the promises of God. The tender things that God put in your heart, even as a child. It's time to stand and expect God to fulfill everything that he put in your heart. Amen. Because he's coming back. But understand that the kingdom of God operates, the government of God operates like a process. And that process is seed time and harvest. Look with me at Mark chapter 4, verse 29. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, the night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. And though he does not know how, all by itself, watch the process, all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Look at somebody and say, process. And during that process is when the assignment of the enemy is strongest, to get you to quit instead of enjoying the benefit of the harvest and all that it brings. Look at somebody and tell them, that's my harvest and I'm not giving up. Extraordinary breakthroughs and miracles and shifts in your life come from extraordinary perseverance. If you're going to do anything at all for God in your life, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get resistance. And a lot of people are not defeated simply because, you know, they're a terrible person or they made mistakes or you sin to the nth degree. A lot of people are defeated because they can't handle that kind of pressure and they quit. And sadly, a lot of people quit right before the breakthrough. And I'm telling you today that I'm speaking prophetically to some hearts. And don't you dare walk out of this room and say, well, I know that's nice, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but it's too late for me. It's obviously not too late for you, or I wouldn't be talking to you about persevering through the pressure that you're going through. Say it with me, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I cannot be defeated is a theological truth. Not a fact, a truth. The child of God does not go from place, you know, to seeking victory. You start with victory. You are more than conquerors through him who loves you. You're the head, not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're coming from a place of victory and success. But the devil will continue. You're still some kind of a, you know, problem child that God has to endure until the end. No, you are already a victorious one. He always leads you in triumph. Hallelujah. Say it with me. The victory is a truth. But guess what? I cannot be defeated is the truth, but what? I will not quit is a decision. It's not whether you're victorious or not that makes the difference. It's whether you quit or not that makes the difference. So shout out loud, I can't be defeated. I say it boldly, I will not quit. Come on, say it again, I will not quit. The single most effective weapon the enemy has is tempting believers to quit. And by doing so, they abort their God-given destiny. Not all the abortions take place in terms of what's in a mother's womb and taken out and murdered. There are a lot of dreams that are aborted in the body of Christ simply because they give up and quit. Make up your mind, you cannot be defeated and you will not quit. Adrian Rogers was famous for saying this, it's always too soon to quit, but never too late to start. Can I have an amen? Perseverance is continuing your effort to achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. It's endurance, it's resilience. And I love that word resilient because it's so important to the end time church. That's the ability to adapt well and bounce back after facing hardship, trauma, or severe stress. Say it, I bounce back. Y'all remember praying with those little paddles? Amen. And I discovered when Timothy was real little that not only could you have a bouncing ball, but when the ball broke and flung off, they make great paddles. Now, in our household, you can probably guess that I was the one that would do the paddling. Kelly tried a couple of times. But when your child breaks out into laughter when they're being paddled, it's probably the wrong signal. What about you? Did he laugh when you did it? I don't think so, no. He turned out pretty well, didn't he, church? Amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This word resilience literally is comes from Latin. It's an amazing little word that just indicates that you always bounce back no matter how hard it's thrown down, it comes back. Amen. It's not like those basketballs that you play with and all of a sudden they go kind of limp and you throw them down and they stay down because the air's out of them. You always bounce back. Come on, shout out. I always, always bounce back. No matter how hard you throw me against the wall, I'm going what? I'm going to bounce back. Say it, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. When you quit, you abort your dreams because they take a sustained effort over time. When you quit, you forfeit what God ordained for you on that journey. God showed me a long time ago that every believer that is born again, He has already, from the foundation of the world, set a path out there. And they're twists and the turns, they're ups and their downs, they get you where you're supposed to go. But on that path are all kinds of blessings and cool things for you and for me to enjoy, the blessings of the Lord. I tell you, He loves to bless the obedient people that He can count on. Are you here today? Amen. You have to understand that they're already out there. But if you quit, you get off that path, you will never stumble onto what God ordained for you to enjoy in this life. And it won't be God holding out on you. You made a choice to quit. No matter how you doll this up, no matter how you justify it, no matter how you say, you just don't know what I'm going through, it is always a decision to quit. And I just encourage you, don't do that because you'll leave on that path all these amazing things that God had for you. When you quit, you fail to impact the people you were destined to influence. Right now, God has a path for you. You're going to run into people and God wants you to influence them. And I want you to catch this. God is sending back His Son soon. He is returning quickly. You don't have time for a pity party to hang around quitting and holding your head down saying, well, nothing ever works out for me. It's never going to work out for me. If that's your attitude, you're right. Nothing will ever work out for you. But if you don't do it for anybody else, do it for the people you're supposed to run across in this life. Because hell is eternal. Amen. Glory to God. When you quit, you fail to affect others who are watching your life and your journey. You'll embolden your critics and you'll disappoint those that are fans of yours, that believe in you, that care about you, that want you to succeed. Now, I understand a lot of people don't want people to succeed. You know, so much being said and talked about, Dolly and her passing this week. But as a little girl, she stood up in the middle of her classroom and the teacher said to everybody, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she stood up and said, I want to be a star. And they all laughed. Can I tell you something? They ain't laughing no more. 3,000 songs. You say, how can that possibly be? And then you have people that will go out there and use the sewer pit of social media try to defame her in any relationship she has with Christ. Let me help you out here. She is the granddaughter of a Pentecostal preacher. The chance of those kids not being born again, spirit-filled and tongue-talking by the time they were five is slim to none. And you know somebody by their works and by their fruit. Isn't that what Scripture says? Something like $600 million she donated over the course of her life. $600 million. And I don't feel sorry for her. She died with about $475 million left. But that's the way it is when you sow like that. God just keeps on blessing your life. But my point is, thank God she didn't listen to the people laughing at her and making fun of her. Amen. Stupid jokes. Stupid blonde jokes. They ask her, does that bother you? She goes, no, because number one, I'm not dumb. And number two, I'm not really blonde. She played the public like a fiddle, amen? A persona and glorified God all the way. Amen? You say, well, that's her. God would never have anything special for me to do. Well, God's purpose and design for your life is just as important. Maybe you can't sing and play an instrument. Maybe you can't write songs. But you have what? You have the ability to impact and affect other people's lives. Amen. Give them something to cheer about. Glory to God. Look at somebody and say, I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. Number five, when you quit, there are eternal consequences. Eternal consequences for you and for the people that are around you. Make sure you understand this. You're not living. This is not a game. This is not just pretend. This is not just religion. It is real. It is eternal. When you quit, it's all that much easier for you to quit the next time. Hey, the most addictive thing is not crack. It's not cocaine. It's not some other drug. It's quitting. Why do people quit? Well, sometimes it's because they experience a loss in life. Nobody likes to lose, amen, things or lose somebody that they love in terms of their relationships. But sometimes when they lose something like that, they lose that person they care about, they basically just want to quit. And I want you to understand something. Most people will never discern on the outside that you quit. Only you know in your heart of hearts whether you are still in the game or not, or whether you have quit. And just because you're sucking in air and breathing, amen, and even coming to church, doesn't mean you're actively pursuing what God has for you.
That's true.
Number two, failure. So you tried some things that didn't work out. Amen. Thank God Thomas Edison kept going or we wouldn't have lights today. So why aren't you upset because, you know, you tried 1,000 different ways, you know, and you still can't make the light bulb work. He was excited. And, you know, I found 1,000 ways it didn't work. And I can move on and find the way that it does work. Look at somebody and tell them it's all about attitude. Some people quit because of rejection. So I didn't like you. Somebody said something ugly about you. Well, that's just inevitable. You're going to do anything for God. Somebody is going to say something. Somebody is going to reject you. Hear it loud and clear. You do not base your opinion of yourself based on what other people think and say about you. You should view yourself the way God views you. Smile at somebody and tell them, you're pretty awesome in Jesus' name. Some people quit because of persecution. They just can't handle it. I was just talking to him earlier. You know, every time God begins to use somebody in any generation in a supernatural way, healings, deliverances, miracles, raisings from the dead, the world just kind of puzzles over that. But do you know what? It's the Pharisees that come out to attack and persecute that particular person. And I want to encourage you again, keep your mouth off of people just because somebody on a YouTube channel has something to say about somebody else's ministry. Do not allow that stuff to get into your spirit. Go back to the New Testament to a man named Gamaliel who said, you know what? This move of God we call the way, keep your hands and your mouth off of it, or you might find yourself opposing God in actuality. You think, well, everybody always loved people like John G. Lake. No, they didn't. Everybody always loved Catherine Kuhlman. Are you kidding me? They persecuted her to no end. Not just because she was a woman, amen, but because she had relationship issues and because of the power that flowed through her. The church is so stupid that it doesn't celebrate the gifts of God until they're dead 100 years. How about we celebrate what God is doing, amen, and let him sort it out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That day is the same. Persecution comes. I tell you what, if you're being persecuted because of what you're doing for God, you keep on going. For so they treated the prophets of old, amen. Rejoice. And sometimes it can come in the workplace. It can come, you know, amen, from other church folk. It can come from people in your family. It doesn't matter. Glory to God. No, you're not going to quit just because you're being persecuted. Amen. Some people quit because they're just discouraged. Like Elijah, you fought the fight. Amen. You took out the prophets of Baal. Amen. You taught Jezebel and Ahab a thing or two. And now you're running for your life. Now you're sitting down there absolutely exhausted, mentally, physically, spiritually, hallelujah, and you need to be revived and restored. Everybody can feel discouraged from time to time, but note that God told Joshua, don't what? Be discouraged. This is going to flip some of y'all's wigs, amen. But like quitting, discouragement is not something that comes on you. It is a choice. And to yield to it is a sin. So don't let, because of the way you're feeling, amen, cause you to quit on what God has called you to do and to be. Some folks quit because of cynicism. All they see are the problems out there. And funny people are funny. You know, they think, oh, the world is so much more wicked today than it's ever been. No, it's just that you have more knowledge of the wickedness than ever before. It's always been wicked. Adam and Eve have two boys. Y'all remember their names? Cain and Abel. We're in the first, amen, reproduced generation of mankind. And what does one do to the other? Amen. That's a 50% murder rate right there. Amen. Could you imagine if we had a 50% murder rate in our town? No, you just have more knowledge of it. The world is the world. Amen. You're going to see things and hear things in every kind of situation, every context, but you've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to base my belief in what God's called me to be and do based on what everybody else is doing out there. And if you really believe it's more wicked than ever, well, glory to God. We need the light that you carry. Glory to God. Some folks quit because of setbacks. Amen. You pushed and pushed and pushed and found yourself being pushed back. Well, amen. Be that resilient one. I don't know anybody's not had a setback in their life, in their family, in their business, but I do know some people who refuse to be defined by that. I do know some people went ahead and pressed on to do what God's called them to do. And examples of those are all throughout Scripture. They're all throughout, you know, natural and contemporary life. I thank God that General McAuliffe, when he was told to surrender to Battle of the Bulge, he sent the German commander a one-word reply, nuts. He carries that back to his commander, and the commander goes, was ist nuts? And he translated it for him, and he said, it means go to. And God came through, didn't he, church? Look at somebody say, God came through. He didn't quit. Amen? One of the reasons we call that generation the greatest generation is they were not quitters. Come on, shout it out. I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. Set it out, the best is yet to come in my life. You know, Pastor, you know, I'm almost 80 years old. Who cares? Use Joshua and Caleb as a reference point. Amen. And be encouraged. Glory to God. Said, I refuse to be cynical. And I refuse to let setbacks affect my mindset. Here's this picture of the illustrator and artist Charles Schulz, if you guys would put that up for me. You can see what he's doing. He's artist of the Peanuts, Snoopy and Charlie Brown. How many like Snoopy and Charlie Brown? Thank you up there. Amen. He is an interesting individual. He actually failed the eighth grade. Looks like he's having fun right there, though, doesn't he? My very first stuffed animal was, of course, Snoopy. A store purchased on the square in Marion, Illinois, P. and Hirsch, that used to exist there. Some of y'all remember P. and Hirsch? And it was a Snoopy, like so many millions of other kids. But he failed the eighth grade. The kids called him Sparky at school, not as a compliment, because there was a comic strip with a horse named Sparky. That's how he was treated. Paul Harvey said to him, Sparky wasn't disliked. That would be putting it too strongly, but people didn't care enough to dislike him. He was rejected by his high school yearbook. That'll encourage you. He applied to be a background artist with Disney Corporation. Disney sent him back a letterhead, and it said, you're not among the finest artists, and so we can't hire you. In October 1950, he started this script, and it ran in a St. Paul, Minnesota paper. That was it. Look at somebody say perseverance. Come on, somebody say perseverance. Resilience. 1952, it was changed to the name Peanuts. He had some other name for it. By 1960, he was in 400 newspapers. And that's where most of us, if you're under 30, a newspaper is a paper filled with news articles that you open like that. And after you read them, you put them at the bottom of your dog's cage. We're living in strange times when you have to explain things like that. It's not been that long. But by 1960, he's got 400 newspapers. In the early 60s, he began to work on an animated show for Christmas. You saw just a clip of that. Artist and producer and writer. It was about to air on CBS. I think right after Bonanza was the plan. And if you're under 30, go look it up, Bonanza. It was a popular television. Oh, I ate there, Pastor, one time. I ate her out of Bonanza. He goes into the boardroom with the elite of CBS executives, and they got to the part where they saw Linus telling Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about. And they said, absolutely not. We are not going to allow this to air with this, you know, obvious Christian message. All he didn't preach, he just shared the scripture. And that was offensive to them. Charles Schulz got up and said, if we can't have Linus reading the scripture, I'm out. And walked out the door. Better heads prevailed. They decided to air it. And catch this. This eighth grade dropout, Sparky, rejected by his high school yearbook, rejected by Walt Disney personally. Half of the TVs on that night were tuned in to watch what he did with the Peanuts. Half. It's never been duplicated in the history of entertainment. Well, Pastor, that's because there's 10,000 streaming services now. Well, that's a good point. Back then, what did we have? ABC, CBS, and NBC. Needless to say, they won the ratings that night. But for every two televisions on that night, one was tuned to watch what Charles Schulz had done. Look at somebody, say, persevere. Come on, say, persevere. Paul Harvey said it like this. And all the challenges and all the obstacles that he faced, the rejections, the loneliness, they weren't mistakes. They were preparation. This is what he said. Disney said he wasn't good enough. Harvey said God said he was. Amen. Look at somebody and say, they may say you're not good enough, but God says you are. He said Disney hires the finest. God uses the faithful. Amen. Amen. At the time of his death, Charles Schulz was worth $200 million. That's a lot of stuffed animals. But watch this. Didn't stop then. Between 2001 and 2024, Schulz's estate earned an average of $30 to $40 million per year. 2025 is going to be a bad year. It's estimated between $80 and $120 million. That's pretty good for somebody that Disney rejected. Since his death in 2000, the estate has earned over $1 billion from licensing and merchandising and syndication deals. Today, Sony owns 80% of it, and the family retains 20%. But 20% of a billion is pretty good, isn't it? Look at somebody and say, persevere. You're looking at somebody that any step of the way could have quit. And you say, what is so special about this story? What's special about this story is he took a stand for Jesus Christ and God blessed his socks off. Aren't you glad for that? Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that man's legacy too. Amen. Glory to God. So my goal here with the time that I have left is to encourage you to develop a no-quit spirit. Confess that I have a no-quit spirit in my heart. Amen. Number one, don't use quit inner talk. Don't use quit inner talk. Nobody's around in the recesses of your mind. Well, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to take off. I'm just going to leave. What's the point? There's no difference my life makes. And on it goes. All kinds of different variations of that inner talk. But that inner talk is powerful. The most powerful voice in your life is what you say to yourself. Are you here today? You say, well, Pastor, did somebody send you an email about me today? Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you're on this planet at all in length of time, you strike out to do anything, you're going to have times where you feel like that, but you need to watch telling yourself to quit. You say it enough and you will. Amen. Instead, be like the woman who had an issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. Sick, broke, busted, disgusted, weak as she could be, strikes out to just at least touch the hem of his garment. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says she kept saying to herself, I'm just going to quit. No, she said that she'd have been dead already. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll what? I'll be made whole. Replace that quit dialogue with what the word says about you. Amen. Because what you say about yourself is more powerful than what anybody else has to say. And when you are the deciding witness and you line up with God instead of the enemy in this world, amazing things happen. Look at somebody and say, stop telling yourself to quit. Tell yourself to press on. Amen. And you could just see her moving through that crowd. Everybody wants to see Jesus. Everybody wants to touch Jesus. But she was not going to be denied. Hallelujah. Some of the people in this room, you have really stinky inner dialogue. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go up to several of you and expose it in Jesus' name. I'm just kidding. So don't I. I don't want to hear that ugliness anyway. With all the talk about critics and persecution and problems in this world, many times our biggest problem are the ones, you know, that person looking back at us in the mirror. Amen. Look at somebody, say, stick to the word. Number two, imagine you already have it. See yourself walking and living in that dream. God gave you that imagination. And yes, it's true. You can use that imagination for evil purposes. And people have done that down through time. There are people who use their imagination to scheme and manipulate and to hurt and defile. You can, you know, dream and imagine things that are perverse and wrong and unclean. But you can also imagine things that are wholesome, glory to God. And a dream from God is a wholesome thing. Amen. And Job was going through a terrible time. He said, that which I feared has come upon me. Translation, that which I imagined repeatedly has come upon me. And instead of imagining disaster, how about imagining blessing in your life? You have no idea how powerful it is that when first it clicks on the inside of you, that's when it is ready to manifest on the outside of you. You must begin to use your godly imagination for godly purposes. And imagining the worst is not a godly purpose. Imagining the best. Now watch what God will do. That will become horizon for your life. Amen. It'll be a focal point for you to focus upon. You will begin to flow in new things. Amen. And your life will be a journey of excitement. Your destiny will be fulfilled because you understand now my imagination is not working against me, but for me. Instead of that which I have feared has come upon me. Amen. Say that which I have faced has come upon me. Glory to God. I imagine good things. Number three, focus on the promise. Keep fresh faith, just like Abraham. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but believed that God had the power to do what he had promised. Romans 4, 20 and 21. Focus on the promise. Say it, focus on the promise. And how many know at his age, having a child is a pretty big promise? But what did he do? He didn't waver through unbelief because he what? Forced that unbelief out with faith. God is able to do what he promised. Shout that out. God is able to do what he promised. Number four, undergird your faith with patience. Hebrews 6:12 tells us with faith and patience you inherit the promises. Shout it out again. Faith and patience. You say, well, Pastor, I've already got the patient thing down. No, just waiting around grumbling is not patience. Waiting around grumbling is not patience. Patience comes alongside and undergirds your faith to say, you know what? Just hang on to the word of God. You can tell you are walking in faith and patience because you have joy, not cynicism, come out of your mouth. Expectation instead of being negative all the time. When you're walking with God and you've undergird your faith, you're going to have that which will establish you until you see that manifestation. Faith and patience working together, they're the power twins in your life. Say it with me, with faith and patience, I inherit the promises. Why? Because things don't always happen overnight. You'll look at somebody and say, wow, they're an overnight sensation, or they got a breakthrough overnight, or overnight they're out of debt, or overnight they got that good job, or overnight God bless that ministry. No, it looks to you like it might have been overnight. But to them, they know it's been many nights, many days, many years of faithfully declaring what God said instead of the problem. Amen. Number five, thank God you already have it. Yeah. Not after you get it, but thank him that you already have it, because thanksgiving is the highest form and demonstration of your faith. Philippians 4 tells us with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why would you do that? Because you are not waiting for the thing you prayed about or gave supplication to. You're not waiting for it to manifest before you thank God. I thank God in advance. Every person that is born again, God intends to use them in a mighty way. In a mighty way. And he's the one that defines what mighty way is. But if you're going to do so, you're going to have to get that I quit out of your meditation, that I quit out of your mouth, that I quit out of your heart once and for all. Can have an amen. Come on, bow your heads for just a moment. And you're here today and you say, you know, the Holy Ghost read my mail. I don't have a drug problem, Pastor. I'm not going around getting drunk all the time. You know, I'm not running around, but I got a big time temptation to quit. Just lift your hand real quickly. That's me. Just transparently saying, you know, this is the temptation of my life right now. So many things happening, so many pressures, so many things coming at us. Amen. Push, push, push. Some of you want to quit because of regrets and recrimination and I should have, could have, would have. This reminds you the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And a dream from God is a gift. A directive from God is a gift, be it simple, be it complicated. He delights in ministering to his people. This is your last day of meditating on quitting. This is your last moment where that spirit and that impulse to quit has any room in your heart, your life, your mouth, your words, your thoughts. If that's you today, just stand to your feet where you are. You have serious quit coming after you. And we're believing God to break that thing off of you in Jesus' name. See, no one's going to judge you. No one's going to look at you. No one's going to be looking down on you because somehow that's working against your mind and heart. Because I promise you this, everyone else that's still seated has gone through that or will go through that because we know who the evil one is and how he operates. But greater is he. I said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Cannot be defeated as a spiritual, biblical truth. I will not quit is a decision. And that's basically what you're saying today by standing. No one here has your context. No one here has any idea. The application of why that thing has come against you. But to remember that God loves you. You know, somebody had to lead Billy Graham to the Lord. Somebody led a Reinhard Bonnke to the Lord. Somebody believed in a Catherine Coleman and encouraged her to be everything that God called her to be. Dolly's uncle, instead of laughing at her, took her to Knoxville every single Saturday morning as a 10-year-old to sing on a radio show. Some of you understand you could be that amazing encourager, that amazing connection point for somebody's life to be transformed. It's a good day to be set free from that spirit of quit. You're standing where you are, just lift your hands in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the rest of the church just to open their eyes and come around you and love on you and lay their hands on you. And we're going to pray over you corporately. Find somebody with their hands raised. Be of the body. In Jesus' name, we take authority over that spirit and over that lie. We take authority over the evil one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we address that thing that would come to discourage and to push on your people to quit. We declare that they have resilience, the ability to bounce back no matter what's been going on. In Jesus' name, from now on, that inner talk will not be quit. It will be press on, press forward in Jesus' name. From now on, they will see themselves living out that vision, that dream. What you told them to be and to do, that's what their meditation will be. In Jesus' name, they will cultivate the faith of God, holding on to the promise of what you have told to them. We thank you in Jesus' name. They will just continue to honor you and bless you and praise you, Father God. Not after, but even in advance of anything changing, anything manifesting. And we thank you for them today. Father, where things have been said to them that are destructive, that are seeds of part of that negativity, we curse those words and command them to fall to the ground and to die and to bear no fruit. And we only have room for what you say over them today. We bless them with blessing. We know they're redeemed from the curse, but we boldly proclaim the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and he has no sorrow to it. They're blessed going in and they're blessed going out. All these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. You're being overtaken by the blessing. We thank you for a spirit of joy hitting their lives right now. Joy in Jesus' name. Joy. joy in Jesus' name. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him a shout and a hand clap today. Praise his name.